All right, so you wanted a deep dive on death, specifically death in Ecclesiastes. Buckle up, because we're going deep.
Sounds a little morbid, but okay. I'm game.
Morbid. Maybe, but hey, we're all gonna face it eventually, right? Might as well explore what this book, Ecclesiastes has to say about it.
Yeah, you're right. It's one of those universal experiences. And Ecclesiastes, being a wisdom book, should have some insights.
Exactly. And we've got some great material to work with here. Lectures by Dr. Alfer. This guy is like the Old Testament whisperer. He makes this ancient stuff feel surprisingly relevant today.
Oh, I know Dr. Fur. He's fantastic. Always makes you think.
Right. So, big question here. What does this wisdom book, Ecclesiastes, have to say about death? Is it all doom and gloom?
Well, it's not exactly a beach read, that's for sure, but it's not as depressing as you might think.
Oh, so there's hope. Spill the beans. What's the good word?
Okay, so first, you got to understand, death is like a recurring theme in Ecclesiastes. The author, Qohelet, is kind of obsessed with it.
Obsessed, really? Like, can't stop thinking about it? Obsessed?
Yeah, pretty much. It's like he uses death as this lens to, examine life to figure out what it's all about.
That's interesting. So it's not just about like the physical act of dying.
No, it's way deeper than that. He's constantly reminding us that our time here is limited. Everything fades away eventually.
Okay, I get that. But it still sounds kind of gloomy. Everyone's gonna die. What's the point of anything then?
Well, Coakley uses this powerful image. Everyone, wise or foolish, rich or poor, ends up in the same place, the grave.
Yeah, that's a sobering thought for sure. Puts things into perspective. Makes you wonder what happens after we die.
Exactly. And the Old Testament view of the afterlife, well, it's a little ambiguous, but Qohelet uses this word, Sheol.
Sheol. Sounds a bit like a scary underworld. Is that what he's talking about? Like fire and brimstone.
Not quite hell, no. Think of it more like a place of deep inactivity, like no work, no planning, no knowledge.
Okay.
Ecclesiastes 9.N actually describes it.
So not a party then, but also not a place of eternal torment.
Interesting. Why does this distinction even matter to us? Living our lives right here and now.
Because it points to a deeper understanding of death. It's not just the end of our physical existence, but a transition to a different state of being.
So everything we stress about now, our ambitions, worries, they lose their meaning.
Exactly. In Sheol, it all becomes irrelevant, which makes you think twice about what you're prioritizing in life,
It
right?
really does. Can't cheat death.
You got it. In Ecclesiastes 2.14.16, he realizes that even wisdom can't overcome death's finality.
So what's the point of wisdom then? Is he saying we should just give up, accept our fate?
Not at all. It's not about giving up, but being realistic. Instead of trying to outsmart time and death, we should focus on what we can control.
Outsmarting time? What does that even mean? Can you give me an example?
Think about how we stress over things we can't change or try to control outcomes that are ultimately out of our hands. Right. It's like trying to hoard possessions, chasing achievements, thinking that stuff will somehow guarantee us more time or protect us from death.
Exactly. We try to build walls against the inevitable tide. Coeri is basically saying, stop building walls. Cultivate your garden instead.
Okay, cultivate my garden. Like, enjoy the simple things, nurture relationships, that kind of thing.
Exactly. Find meaning in the present moment. That's what you can control.
That's a powerful shift in perspective. So if we can't outsmart death, who's calling the shots?
Well, that's where God's sovereignty comes in. Qohelet is very clear about that. God determines when we die.
Right, like in Ecclesiastes 3.2, a time to be born, a time to die, and that powerful image in 8.7, no one has power over the wind or the day of his death.
Exactly. Dr. Fur uses this great example of Muhammad Ali, greatest boxer, struck down by Parkinson's.
Yeah, it shows that no matter how powerful or successful we are, ultimately we're not in control of our own mortality.
Right. It's humbling. And this leads to the next point. How can death, something we fear, actually motivate us to live better?
That's a good question. How can something so negative be a positive force?
Well, when we're aware of our own mortality, it forces us to ask, what really matters?
I see. It pushes us to live more intentionally, savor each moment, prioritize the things that truly matter.
Precisely. Qohelet doesn't want us to live in fear or despair, but embrace the present moment. Find joy in the gifts God has given us.
It seems like he keeps coming back to that idea of joy, right? Like in Ecclesiastes 2.24 and 9.7.10, he talks about enjoying our work, our relationships, simple pleasures.
Yes. And he uses this interesting word, helek. It means the portion of life God has given us.
So it's like he's saying, you've got this gift, a limited time, make the most of it.
Exactly. Discover your helek and embrace it. It's a precious gift.
Find joy in the journey, knowing the destination isn't in our control. But there's another layer to this, isn't there? This idea of judgment after death.
You're picking up on it. Koel Litt seems to suggest that our actions in this life have consequences that extend beyond the grave.
So it's not just YOLO, live for the moment. Ignore the bigger picture.
Not at all. He's urging us to live with a sense of responsibility. Our choices matter. He talks about fearing God, keeping his commandments.
There's that phrase again, fearing God. We touched on it earlier. It seems super important to Koel Litt. What does he mean by that?
It's not about cowering in terror. It's about recognizing God's sovereignty, living in light of his judgment.
So more like reverence and respect, understanding that we're accountable to a higher power.
Exactly. It's about understanding that our actions have eternal significance and that we will be judged for how we lived our lives.
Whoa, that adds a whole other dimension to the conversation. It's not just about YOLOing through life, but living with intention, purpose, knowing our choices have consequences beyond this earthly existence.
Absolutely. And that's what makes Ecclesiastes so thought-provoking. It doesn't give us all the answers, but it makes us ask the right questions.
I'm already feeling challenged. So far, we've seen that death in Ecclesiastes isn't morbid fascination, but a profound reflection on life's meaning. Appreciate our time, find joy in the present, and consider the implications of our actions, knowing there might be something beyond this life. But I feel like we're just scratching the surface.
Right. You're absolutely right. There's so much more to Koel Litt's unique perspective on death and how it should impact how we live our lives.
It's really interesting how Ecclesiastes doesn't shy away from those tough questions about life and death. You know, we know death is coming, but it still tells us to find joy.
Yeah, it's like, A, you're going to die, but enjoy that sandwich while you can. Like, but I guess there's wisdom in that.
Right. It's a very human thing, isn't it? To look for meaning and purpose, even though we know we won't be around forever.
So don't ignore death, but don't let it stop you from living.
Yeah, and that's where this under the sun idea comes in. Koel Litt's just observing life as a human with all our limitations.
So he doesn't have all the answers, kind of like, what is it, existentialism? Kind of, yeah. But he still comes up with some pretty profound thoughts.
Like what?
Well, like his view of wisdom. Wisdom can't beat death, but it can help us deal with life better, make good choices while we can, you know, because our time is limited.
So make the most of it. But if we can't control when we die, and even wisdom has limits, how do we actually live with that knowledge? How do we not just freak out?
That's the question, isn't it? I don't think Koel Litt has a step-by-step guide, but he gives us some direction.
All right, I'm listening. What's the direction?
Embrace both the joy and the seriousness of life. Enjoy the good things, work, relationships, the world around us. But also, remember, our actions have consequences.
So carpe diem, seize the day, but also, what is it, memento mori? Remember, you will die.
That's it. And that brings us back to fearing God.
Oh, there it is again. We keep coming back to that. Why is this so important to Koel Litt?
Because fearing God isn't about being terrified. It's about knowing he's in control. We answer to him.
Okay, so more like respect and awe, knowing there's something bigger than us.
Exactly. We're not the ultimate authority. Our choices have meaning, not just now, but maybe even after we're gone.
So it's not just about this life. It's about something bigger.
Right. And that ties back to those hints about judgment after death. Koel Litt doesn't know everything about what happens then, but he thinks what we do now matters eternally.
So live wisely.
Live wisely. So for you listening, think about that. We're going to die, and maybe there's a judgment. How does that change how you live now? That's a question each of us have to answer. But Koel Litt gives us some hints. Enjoy your work, your relationships, the simple things, but live with integrity. You know, be mindful of what you do. You're accountable.
Balance, right? Joy, but also responsibility and purpose.
You got it. It's a message that works across time and cultures.
This has been amazing. We talked about death being unavoidable, wisdom's limits, finding joy, hints of judgment. It's like Koel Litt saying, life's a mystery, but live it fully, live it well.
Exactly. That's a great way to put it. And that brings us to something else. What kind of legacy do we leave behind?
Legacy. Wow. That's a big one. What does Koel Litt say about that?
He's got some surprising things to say about that. He knows our accomplishments don't last forever, but he points to a different kind of legacy, one that does.
Oh, okay. I'm interested. Tell me more.
Koel Litt says true legacy isn't about monuments or fame. It's about the impact we have on others. the love we share, wisdom we pass on, the kindness we show.
So it's less about what we get, more about what we give.
Yeah. Making a positive difference, even in small ways.
That's a big change in perspective. Takes the pressure off needing to do something huge and instead focuses on just living a good life.
And it goes back to that under the sun idea. Even with his limited perspective, Kawili gets that there's something more to life than what we see.
He senses there's a bigger picture, even if he can't explain it.
Yes. And that makes this idea of fearing God even more important, because it means our lives have a bigger meaning, a higher purpose.
So it's not about making a name for ourselves, but living for something greater.
Yes, that's Kawili's wisdom.
Yeah.
He doesn't give us all the answers, but he points us the right way.
Life is a journey, not just a destination. Make it count. Powerful stuff.
I love that. And it's something we can all relate to no matter who we are or what we believe.
This has been a great deep dive. We've covered so much. Death being inevitable, living with intention and purpose, and even a bit of reverence.
And we've just scratched the surface. Kawili's wisdom has so much more to it. We could talk for hours.
I know. But I think we've given you, the listener, a good place to start.
Definitely. I hope you'll keep thinking about these questions and find your own meaning in Kawili's wisdom. It really is timeless. You know, we were talking about Kawili's thoughts on legacy before and how different they are.
Yeah, you mentioned he had some surprising things to say about that.
Well, one thing that struck me is how humble he is about it. Like, he really gets that all the stuff we do, you know, our accomplishments, even the big ones, they don't really last forever.
He actually says they're forgotten.
Yeah, he does. Says eventually the memory of them is forgotten.
Wow. That's, I don't know, kind of depressing. What's the point of trying to do anything great then?
That's where his wisdom comes in. It's not that our efforts are meaningless. It's more like we need to adjust our thinking.
Okay, so not about statues and being famous forever. What then?
He says the important thing is how we impact other people, not outward recognition.
So live a life that matters, even if it's not in history books.
Exactly. It all comes back to that fearing God idea. Your real legacy is about aligning your life with a higher purpose.
So it's not about my name being remembered. It's about how my actions affect people. You know, how I love, how I serve, making the world better.
You got it. And that's why Kawili's message is so powerful. It's not tied to one time or place. It's about something deep inside all of us. That desire to make a difference, to leave things better than we found them.
Okay, so let's wrap this up for our listener. We've been through a lot. Death being unavoidable, wisdom having limits, enjoying the present, judgment, now legacy. Knowing all this, how should we live?
Kawili gives us some really good tools for finding meaning, even with all this heavy stuff we've been talking about. All right, give me the tools, I'm ready. First, be present. Don't let fear of death or worrying about the future steal your joy. Good food, good work, time with people you love, those are the things to focus on. Remember, Hillock, your portion of life, and really savor it.
Make each day count. Not just going through the motions, but really living, finding those good moments, even when things are tough.
Yes. Second, live with intention and do the right thing. What you do has consequences, now and later. Make good choices, be kind, leave things better than you found them.
Live by your values. Make sure your actions match what you believe.
Exactly. And last, remember your creator. Kawili reminds us there's a bigger picture, a spiritual side that gives meaning to it all.
So it's not about being super religious. It's about that sense of wonder, knowing we're a part of something way bigger than ourselves.
Yes. And I think that's the best legacy anyone can leave. A life that inspires others to search for truth and goodness. You know, live with intention and make a difference.
This has been a fantastic deep dive into Ecclesiastes. We've covered so much. It's really given me a lot to think about. How about you, listener? What really hit home for you? As we finish up, think about this. Knowing there might be a judgment day, how does that change how you see your own to-do list? Your goals, how you spend your time? Keep searching for wisdom and keep diving deep. We'll see you next time.